Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat. On today's show, we're taking calls, and the reason? New Year's. This is the time of year where people actually start to plan. Oftentimes, people make financial planning part of their New Year's resolution.
That's right. And of course, we always take calls during our program, but we also do other stuff. This show is going to be just calls. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. And to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. So stick around for this program.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
Glad you're with us as we are here in 2017 and most of us back to work, back to life, back to school, all those good things. And it's good that you're with us. I'm, of course, both myself and my co-host here. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself. Come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. And glad you're here with us.
And love taking your calls.
That's right. We are taking a lot of calls today. That's our objective. So if you've in the past have tried to get on the program or wanted to get on the program, have a question for Hanson McLean,
or couldn't get through, which often is the case.
Yep. Or just whatever. Today would be a great day to contact us. So if you want to join Hanson McLean, it's simple. You call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And you'll be part of the program.
Yeah.
So numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. Again, 888-242-6766.
So. And we'll get you on the air.
Yeah, and it's good.
It's nice to be back in the...
that kind of working.
Yeah, and the kids back to college.
I have one is actually en route today back to school. The other one's got another week home or whatever. Yeah. It's not like I saw my son. I pick up from Boston. We'll get to the meat of the topics here in a second, but it's just hilarious because I pick him up from the airport. He's in Boston. Yeah, pick him up from the airport.
You haven't seen him in months.
No, I haven't seen him. We drive home. It's like 10:30 at night. He was home 6 minutes.
And then
where are you going? Somewhere. You know? Anyway.
It was nice. And oh, by the way, if you get an opportunity, go back and listen to our podcast of our Christmas Eve show.
Yes.
And the only reason I'm asking you to do this is because this was the most well-received show that we have ever had in over our 20 years of broadcasting.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'll give away this. Here's the spoiler. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, it's history.
All right. I don't know what that means, but we had interviewed 5 different clients and asked them questions about the charities they're involved in. And then Hanson McLean gave each one of the charities $5,000.
Yeah.
And that might have been why they're, we may have created our own little problem here because they're asking us to do the show 4 times a year now.
Please do it again. Yeah.
So no, anyway, if you go to wherever you get your podcast and type in Hanson
or just
McLean.
Go to moneymatters.com and you can figure out if you don't currently a subscriber. But, you know, I think for a lot of people it's inspiring because these are everyday people. They're not like full-time, you know, charity type people.
They're not philanthropists.
No,
Bill Gates. They were hardworking people.
And most of them, I think
they were all retired.
No. Some had retired and gone back to work. But they're all things that they got involved in. And it's, I think it's inspiring because they're all different things. And anyway.
It was good.
And we're kicking, you know, it's interesting, Pat. So, for investors, we're all looking at 2017. Look just how different the start of this year is compared to last year.
Yes.
Right? Last year, the first trading day, the markets got hammered.
Yeah, there's a lot more optimism in the air this year than there was last.
Yeah.
It scares me a little bit.
Correct. But it's my whole point of bringing it up. So last January, the first trading day was bad. First week was bad. We're down the broad market was off about 14% by the middle of February, and people were nervous. People were calling this radio program nervous about things. So prices went down. Things became on sale. People became nervous. What do we have today?
The market has been on a tear since the election, and the optimism is over the top, which scares me a little bit.
Well, the thing that's interesting, yeah, so if prices are going up, and what you see now is people say, well, maybe I should have more stocks, not just stocks, more U.S. stocks.
Yeah, more of my portfolio in equities.
Yeah.
Versus last year when things were less expensive and people were saying, should I have any at all?
And it frankly, it does make us a little cause for concern because...
But Scott, we're going to cover that in our workshops. There's a little, how's that for radio speak? A little bridge there. We have workshops in Sacramento, San Francisco, and Denver.
It's a beginning of the year, a good time to get your financial house in order. If retirement's sometime in the near future for you, whether it's looming this year or in the next couple of years, you'll want to come to one of these live workshops. About 75 minutes. It's very helpful information, useful information.
Q&A at the end.
Yeah. And you can stick around as long as you want with more questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have them in Sacramento, San Francisco, Bay Area, and Denver, all coming up at the end of this month and the beginning of February. So we have them weeknights at 7 o'clock, and then we have a Saturday workshop, which is what we've added. We've done this for the last few years in January because this is when people make it part of their New Year's resolution is their finances.
Get my finances in order.
It's pretty, yeah.
I'm not quite sure how my 401k has been allocated. Is this proper? I don't know if I participated in enough of the market run-up. Do I have too much in bonds? Do I have too little? Am I ready for retirement? What's Social Security look like? All those sort of questions that kind of looming around. So you'll want to come to that workshop. Go to moneymatters.com and check on live, I think it's live events or live workshops.
Does it say live events?
Live events, workshops.
Yeah, live workshops.
Live workshops. Yeah, whatever, says something along that. Moneymatters.com, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And you'll want to sign up for that. But let me just continue with this one more thought on the markets. Because there's all this talk of Dow 20,000, like it's just some big deal. And we got to remember that as the number goes up, each 1,000 points means less and less.
As a percentage.
You can't spend the Dow, by the way. Last I looked, you can't take it to the grocery store and say, here's what I have in Dow. Doesn't matter, right?
They don't care.
It's
an underlying, it's a barometer. Of the overall stock market. And the Dow, actually, its makeup changes. When the Dow originally came out in the, was it in the 20s?
I think it was in the 1890.
Yeah, there were 11 stocks and 9 of them were railroad.
Railroad. Things have changed. Yeah, so.
No railroad stocks in the Dow today.
No. So there's not any.
No, none.
Interesting how things change. And the Dow hasn't gone through any stock splits like normal companies go through stock splits. So the number gets larger and larger. So by going from 19,000 to 20,000 is a 5% increase.
It's not a big deal.
Going from 1,000 to 2,000, that 1,000 point is at
100%.
100%. Great.
Now we're just showing off our math skills.
So, but seriously, as we get higher and higher, expect bigger point days. And for most of the listeners, we'll see a 40,000 Dow in our lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah,
that can happen in the next decade.
You would actually, so it could happen if the...
80,000 Dow for many people listening.
If the market performs at 7.2% over the next 10 years,
that's
conceivable
right.
that you see a $40,000 Dow.
Correct.
It's not that big of a deal, actually.
And an 80,000 even for that matter.
Yeah. If it performs in that over the next 20 years, it's 7.2%.
So, hey, anyway, this program, instead of just us sitting here talking blabbing on forever, which we're pretty good at doing, and we can do...
You can join us.
Yeah, we're taking many calls this program. So to join Hanson McLean, now's the time to call. 1-888-2-HANSON to join the program, or it's 1-888-242-6766. Again, 1-888-242-6766. We'll get you on the program. We're talking with Bob in Northern California. Bob, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Bob. Happy New Year, by the way. I'm still saying Happy New Year because I'm glad for New Year.
Have a question for you, if I can, about the tax deductibility of a charitable giving account that's available through a major brokerage account.
Got it. Now, by the way, Bob, we're going to answer this question as it relates to current tax law.
Yes.
Because 2017, we would expect there be some changes. There's been talk years and years now of having a major overhaul.
Limiting the deductions.
But this is a pretty good year that... I'm pretty good chance we're going to have some changes this year. Anyway, go ahead with your question.
Right. I'm not at the point that I have to do RMDs or required minimum distributions from the IRA accounts yet.
Okay.
So my question is basically, I do have some funds not in the IRA, which I don't want to withdraw at this point in time. But can I take those funds from my brokerage account, a regular non-IRA brokerage account, contribute them to the charitable giving trust, and have that deductible from my income for income tax purposes?
Yes.
That's the question.
Most likely. So you can donate an appreciated asset, which is what it sounds like you're talking about doing. You've got some stock or mutual fund you're thinking of donating. If you donate that, whatever the current, as long as you've held it for at least 12 months, whatever the current market value is, you can take a tax deduction on that. It is an itemized deduction, and it's limited of assets. It's up to a maximum of 30% of your adjusted gross income. So if the unlikely event that you were going to give 30% of your income away, but it happens sometimes you see a sale of a business or a property.
But you have to, you actually have to itemize on your tax return to get this. If you're the standard deduction, it doesn't
part
help
of the
you.
Standard deduction?
No, no. If you are not itemizing, it doesn't matter. So do you itemize on your tax return now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then it matters.
Yeah. Then you get the deduction.
Okay. Right.
Unless there's something unusual that we don't know about in your situation, but.
And remember, you can buy that that position back in your portfolio immediately after you give it away. So correct. I've had clients that say, I don't want to get rid of that. And we say, well, it doesn't much matter.
Bob, did you say you're currently on required minimum distributions or you are not?
I am not. A couple years away from that.
Okay. Because when you hit that, because currently, under current law, you can take your required minimum distribution and have it go directly to a charity and not have it includable in your taxable income up to $100,000.
Scott, can you have it go to a donor advised fund?
You cannot have it go to a donor advised fund. It can only go to a
charity. I knew the answer to that. I just wanted you to say
thank you, Pat.
So that's a big deal there, right? Because while the donor advised fund actually works for in a brokerage account or highly appreciated, but position, it doesn't work for if you want to take the money from your IRA, the RMD, and push it into, you have to give it to a charity. It can't go to a donor advised fund.
Correct, but the charity is the brokerage account, charitable giving account through the brokerage account.
Which is a donor advised fund.
Which is a donor advised fund. It's not a charity.
Like Fidelity Gift Trust or Schwab's got one, and they all have, most of them have one.
Okay. We're all on the same page.
Yep.
It's something like that, but you know, the question I guess is, even though it's going into the charitable giving account, can I deduct that on my income tax?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole point of it.
And both Scott and myself have used charitable giving accounts for years and years and years.
Yep.
I'm a huge advocate of it. First of all, it makes your life easier. It just makes your, if you're charitably inclined at all, even if you're giving away, you know, small amounts of money, as long as you hit the minimum, it just makes your life easier because you can go online. Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Scott's son called me 2 years ago and said, Mr. McLean, I'm involved in this youth in government, which scared me a little bit because he sounded a little bit like a politician calling me and asking for money at the age
of 17. Yes, that's kind of it. That's
17.
Pretty much it.
And he said, well, could you help us out? So I said, absolutely. And all I did was go online. I said, just give me the tax ID number. I just went online in my charitable giving account.
What?
Typed in the tax ID number, put the dollar
amount.
That's
very generous of you, Pat. I appreciate that.
He was your son.
Hey, Bob, here's our recommendation, though. It's the beginning of the year, January.
Wait.
Unless there's a charity that has a need today that you want to fund.
Wait.
Great. If it's instead you, or you want to get, you think it's a good time to liquidate this position, I'd do it today. Otherwise, I'd give it some time. I believe there's going to be some changes in the tax law, and we don't know what it's going to look like later, so.
All right.
Good deal.
I appreciate the call,
Bob. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and again, though, if there's a, we don't want a charity. I hope a bunch of charities don't
get mad at us
or starve this year because people are waiting to see what's going to happen. Because there was some talk that,
and you question whether they're going to would they put it in for partial year or the whole year.
I actually wonder how much they're going to limit it. I just think You want to talk about...
That was a couple years ago. What did they want to do? I forgot what they wanted
Obama to do. Obama was going to have it so that regardless of what your marginal tax rate was, even if it was 39.6%, they were going to treat it like you were in the 28% tax bracket. So they're going to reduce some. I could see something like that happening, some reduction of the benefit. I can't see them taking it...
No.
They can't have a mass change. There's too much money flows into charities. Yeah. And frankly, it's a bipartisan thing because... Liberals and conservatives alike, they a lot of money gets donated to charity. So, all right, 1-888-2-HANSEN to join us. Let's talk to Jim. Jim, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, fellas. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Happy New Year, Jim.
Happy New Year, you both. I am 64 and a half. I have a retirement savings that are about $1.1 million.
And they're in an IRA or 401?
I own my own.
I'm sorry, Jim, are they in an IRA or 401k or 403b? What kind of vehicle are they in?
These are in an IRA, Roth IRA, and then I have another $50,000 in a 401k.
Okay.
And there's another 300 and some odd thousand. I sold my house in Carmichael recently. And we're relocating to Idaho in May, and the house that we bought is going to be a one-for-one exchange in the amount of money that I got from my house in California. So with that money's a wash.
You're like one of the many people. I can't tell you how many actually clients of Hanson McLean over the years have retired, they retire in California and move elsewhere.
Yeah, actually, and I have a number of them that have retired to Idaho.
Yeah, Idaho has been a popular spot.
But they downsize kind of in California, so they'll move from a big house to a condo in California and then buy a big spread up in Idaho.
So continue on, Jim. Well, Pat and I can have the sidebar later, but...
No, I'm used to that. I've been listening to you for years. I enjoy it.
All right.
So this is my main worry. I won't really have... It's just me and my wife. I won't really have any debt at all. We'll have to pay electricity and gas. We do not travel to Europe or spend money like wild. We will own our own cars. And I'm just concerned, is $1.1 million enough?
Is it a little or a lot, right?
Is it a little or a lot? We'll be 65 this year. She does not intend to take her Social Security until she's 66, and she'll get, I think, about $1,300 a month, and I intend to wait on my Social Security until I'm 70, and then I would get about $3,000 a month. And in the meantime, I'm looking at not being entirely retired, but doing odd jobs that I hope would bring me gross maybe $25,000 or $30,000 a year.
So excuse me, Jim.
Now you understand where I'm at.
Okay. So what are you making now? So this is the biggest question that we receive.
Yes.
This is, I mean, if
someone asked me this question at we had a small Christmas party at my house at Christmas time, and a friend of mine for years asked me this question. How much does one need to retire?
Right. Like, so I'm going to start by directing you. I'm going to answer your question. But for the rest of the listeners, I want you to go to our website and either sign up to get the book, Personal Decision Points, or watch the webinar.
It's 75% off, by the way. Go to moneymatters.com/book.
It's 75% off. So it costs like $5 or so. Go to our website and watch the webinar.
Or go to our live workshop.
You can do both.
Both.
So you're in Carmichael. You're in Northern California. We have workshops coming up at the end of January.
Let's answer his question.
But the answer to the question is, so for the rest, wait, Scott, I want the people to go to the webinar and watch the seven personal decision points. Because the first question in the seven personal decision points is, how much am I living on now?
Yes. Which is what we're going to come backwards on.
We can't answer your question about whether this is enough or not enough until we know actually how much you're living on. So how much do
A couple of years ago, both of you retired or partially retired today?
My wife is retired.
How long has she been retired?
She retired last July.
Okay. And how much income were you, before she retired, were you and your wife making?
You put it together. I have a regular day job, and my annual salary is about $64,000.
And how much was she making?
I have, she was probably grossing no more than $30,000.
Okay, so you're living in less than $100,000. And then
saving.
And then you were putting money into your 401k, and you were paying taxes on that. Social Security taxes on that. So if you were putting 15% in your 401k, I assume it was probably somewhere around there. You need approximately to keep the same standard of living. Did you have any debt back before you she retired?
Mortgage or anything?
No, not really. Okay. We paid the house off in 2013.
Okay. So you need to replace it, ballpark approximately $75,000 a year in income. Approximately $75,000 a year. You have $1.1 million, and I would use a 4%, assume 4%.
Yeah, if you just assume, all right, what if I managed to pull off 4% a year, grow that with inflation?
It's 44.
It's a conservative assumption, I believe.
It's $44,000 a year is what you would, a conservative assumption. And then if we add in
Social Security.
$3,000. And he was talking about at age 70, $3,000. So let's discount.
Well, he could use it today because he's going to do some part-time work between then.
Okay. All right. So then if we look at your Social Security between you and your wife, it's approximately $4,200 a month, which is approximately $50,000 a year.
Add to the 44.
And add to the 44, you're $94,000 a year. The answer to your question is, Jim, yes, you have enough money. That's the answer. It's that easy. In fact, you're going to have more money in retirement, more net spendable income than you do today if you take a 4% distribution. What I would do, I'd take a 3% distribution and have the same standard of living. So the answer to your question is, yes, you have enough money. Scott, at the Christmas party, did you answer the guy's question like that?
I said it all comes down to what kind of lifestyle you're planning.
Yeah, if you're living in a teepee.
I mean, Jim said he didn't plan on any fancy.
If you're living in a van down by the river, you don't need much.
Yeah. I think you're in good shape. I think one of the keys a challenge that you might have, Jim, what we've seen with others, is the reason you have these dollars is because you've been a good saver, right? You didn't become a millionaire by winning the lottery. It was hard saving these dollars.
Absolutely not.
And you remember some years when it was challenging. There might have even been some discussions within the family because there were some other pressing needs, and you said, we got to keep saving. That's why you have these dollars. So one of the challenges now in retirement is saying, okay, now is the time when it's okay to spend these dollars. This is what you saved for. And oftentimes what we've found is what's helpful with people is by setting up some sort of monthly distribution. So every month, a certain dollar amount gets distributed from the retirement account and transferred into your checking account.
And taxes are withheld.
So you feel
like a paycheck.
Yeah. And don't worry about saving anymore. Because sometimes I have people like, they have money sent to them, and then they still save some each month because it's such that pattern of saving, which I understand. But
you do want to come to our workshops. And we have them, like I said, at the end of the month in Northern California, both San Francisco and Sacramento, and in the beginning of February in Denver office.
And congrats, Jim. And have you guys found a place out in Idaho yet?
Oh, yeah. It's a place northeast of Boise up in the foothills. If you've ever, if you drive up 50 and you get past Folsom, get into El Dorado Hills, that kind of area.
Yeah.
Where we bought looks a lot like that.
Oh, beautiful. That's nice. Beautiful.
And then the mountains are a lot closer than they are here. So you can, we're about 3,300 feet.
And
they're actually, they're going to break ground. They could break ground this week if it weren't freezing cold there.
Yeah. Are you a fisherman?
Oh, yeah.
You are a fisherman.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, great. That's what my clients, that's where they retire there, is to fish.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Every one of them that's retired to Idaho has been fishing. To fish, yeah, fish.
Oh.
Fishing. I'm also a competitive shooter. They have everything there that I want. And as a matter of fact, when we looked at the place where we bought at, there are a lot of, as we looked at the lots, there were people that came out of their houses to welcome us and say hi.
Nice.
And see who we're from.
Well, enjoy.
Everybody's from California.
Yeah, they are.
They are?
They're all from California.
Well, enjoy your retirement, and thanks for calling the show.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. First of all, people leave it, but this reminds me, I'm not a big fisherman. That's just not. But a client of mine that moved to Montana oh gosh, this is a long time ago. World-class fly fisherman. His friend said, this guy is world-class fly fisherman. So he kept inviting me out. So I thought, you know, sounds like fun. So I went out. Very lovely family. I'm guessing someone else's home, which is lovely. It's just got its own. Anyway, so we go out floating on the river in this float boat. And to get up, and you know, you're in someone else's house. It's like, I hope there's coffee, but.
Yeah, you can't.
There's like no breakfast, really. And so we leave, and we go start getting in the boat to float. And I said something about, hey, is there any like lunch or anything? Oh, crud. I forgot. So we essentially had a 6-pack of Coors Light to split between us. That was a total caloric intake, me fishing throughout the day. Three Coors Lights for several hours. No water, no nothing. Catch and release.
Did you catch anything?
I did. I actually had a good time until my head was exploding because the three Coors Light and no other water or food just isn't quite.
That's probably not good for you.
Anyway, we're taking calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN. Stick around for more Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
Advice without an agenda. It's back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters.
All right, welcome back to Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McClain.
Glad you're sticking here with us this program. As it is the, you know,
beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's nice, actually. I got to tell you, it was nice getting through the holidays. That's just my view. Except, no, it's nice going on vacation. It's nice coming back from vacation.
Were you on vacation?
Not really. I wasn't in the office every day, though.
Oh. You know, the nice thing about this is this business just tends to get slow during the holidays. Our industry tends to get slow.
And but really busy in January.
The first part of the year, people are time to get their financial act in order, that sort of thing. And
really busy.
Yeah. And of course, we're busy and all that sort of stuff. And it's one of the reasons why this program, we're taking many calls. So contact the program. If we don't get you during the show, we will continue calling after the hour. So if you call and we'll get your call today.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Love to take your call. Right now, let's talk to Kyle. Kyle, you're with Hanson McClain.
Hi.
Hi, Kyle.
Guys, I was called. Hey, how you guys doing?
Super.
Hey, so I was calling. I had a couple of questions about annuity products I invested in maybe about 7 years ago. And at the time, they replaced a normal SEP IRA account.
Okay.
And also was sold a life insurance policy. And it's an index universal life insurance.
Wow. Okay.
And needless to say, I didn't really know much about either style of investment at the time.
Kyle, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I assume you weren't a listener of our radio show when you purchased these.
Exactly. At the time, you know, I had a normal SEP IRA and started investing around 2006, and shortly after, so, you know, we had the big decline.
Yep. So let's ask a couple questions.
Me, I moved everything out.
Let us ask a couple questions. How old are you?
I'm 39 years old.
And are you married?
Yes.
And do you have children?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no kids right now.
Okay. So you're married. And how much?
You've got one on the way, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Congrats. Oh, congratulations. Right. How much money do you have in the annuity?
Okay. So the annuity, I have about a little under $40,000 in the annuity.
Okay.
And this was that all from an initial deposit 7 years ago, or have you been contributing?
The bulk of it, I did a big deposit, relatively big for the account, maybe about $25,000 7 years ago.
Yep.
And kind of chipping in every year,
Okay.
$2,000 here and there. And about 2 years ago, I really started taking a closer look at it and stopped contributing to that and started contributing to a separate account that I opened up through just one of the discount brokers.
Okay, perfect.
And tell us about the life insurance policy. What is the face value on the life insurance policy?
Face value is $115,000.
And does it have any cash value in it?
Yeah, right now it's got about, it's got about a little under 4,000 cash value. I've contributed, you know, about a little over 5,000 to it.
Okay.
And there's, you know, there's surrender fees and all that. So
okay.
So what's your thoughts?
By surrender.
So you called us, you feel, well, look, it's like, I got these expensive products. What's your main question for us? What are you thinking of doing here?
Well, you know, the last couple of years I started doing my own kind of, you know, looking into these products. And I know they're not, you know, good products. And I was wondering if, you know, based on, you know, the surrender fees and that kind of thing, is it best if I just cut my losses now and move things over?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what's your income approximately, Kyle?
Let's say about $70,000.
And what is your significant other's income or your wife's income?
But that would also be significant, would it not be?
Yeah, it would be. But
yeah.
But
as opposed to an insignificant.
Listen, I had my college kids home over the holidays, Scott. So I have become politically correct as well. So
assuming there's just one.
Well, yes, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to judge. So the person you're having the child with, what is their income approximately?
We're going to call her significant.
There we go.
What's her?
So she's about 30,000.
Okay.
Working part-time right now.
All right.
And,
so here's what I want you to do. Write this down. I want you to go out and buy a $750,000 20-year term life insurance policy.
It's probably about the same what you're paying in your $115,000 today.
So $750,000 term life insurance, and you can go to one of these online. So that's what you want to do.
Assuming you've got good health, it's cheap.
You want to get a 20-year level term. I want your wife or a significant other to go out and purchase a, what do you say, Scott?
Did you say 20 years? Sorry.
Yeah, 20-year level term.
I don't know. 20-year level term. Social Security provides a great deal.
You wouldn't even buy a $250,000 policy?
I don't know. $100,000 or so on your wife.
Yeah, at least that. I'd go $250. It's another $10 a month.
Well,
it's like two trips to Starbucks.
When I was single.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Your needs have changed, obviously.
Yeah, so you get the $750, your wife gets the $250,000, 20-year level term. Just go on.
Get out of that. I would wait until you got insured with a new policy, then cancel the equity indexed universal life insurance policy.
Cancel that completely and just have them send you the check and chalk that up to
See if you can fund it. See if you can fund it more in your retirement account this year.
Correct. And then
that's what I would do.
That index and the other annuity, I'd take the hit on there. It's already in a tax protected account, being in a SEP IRA. And I would buy either a low-cost ETF or the total market with that. You're 39 years of age?
Yeah.
I'd buy...
Or even a target date fund, a low discount place, smaller account.
Yeah.
Get some international exposure that way.
Yeah. And that's what I would do.
All in one low-cost ETF? You guys would do that?
Yeah.
Or a mutual fund.
Yeah.
I'd probably use a mutual fund, a no-load mutual fund, just because... You want to continue to add to it? It's a little. They're just easier than an ETF.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah,
and just buy a target date fund. What target date would you?
20. I don't know. You got. I'd figure 30 years out from today, so I figure you retire with 2040. 2050. About the same. That's what
I'd buy 2050.
And the only reason we're saying this is because of the size of your account. You'd have a challenge really putting together a robust portfolio with that and have it managed. But with a target date fund, it would accomplish those. A low-cost one.
All righty.
Well, I do have another...
Fire away.
About $20,000 in one of the discount brokerage. And I was thinking about just adding this, moving this over.
I don't know. What's it invested in?
There is a... Roth IRA.
No. What's the investment itself?
Oh, it's just a bunch of mutual funds and ETFs.
I would buy.
Well, if you think you're fine at picking the stuff, then I absolutely agree with you.
I don't think he's fine, Scott.
Okay.
I'd buy a target date fund. I don't think he's fine.
Okay, because you think most people are going to do worse than a target date fund would do by picking.
He called us to ask us whether he should get out in an annuity or not.
Fair enough.
Right, and I'm not.
Here's the deal. You know. So index funds are popular because most active managers professional managers, Goldman Sachs boys, etc., have a hard time outperforming the market, right? So index funds have become popular. People say, why don't we forget it? Let's just buy the market, which are what most ETFs are, index funds. But then for some reason, individual investors think, well, wait a minute, I know which are the which indexes I should buy, so I'm going to have some of this one international, or I'll even, you know, have this developing market fund.
But it's not an either or. Sometimes it's both. And by buying a target date fund, you're going to get both. There's going to be indexed in there. There's going to be a little actively managed. So that's why you want to buy a 2050 target date fund.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to play around with some other stuff on the side, that's fine. I'd keep the bulk of your retirement. I would agree with Pat here on the more the safe side.
All righty.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate the call.
We wish you well. Yep. By the way, today is a good day to get on the program. If you've got a call for us, we'd love to take your call. 1-888-2-HANSEN. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. We're talking with Mary. Mary, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
How are you?
Are we off to a good new year?
I hope so.
All right.
What can we do for you?
Well, I just very briefly, I'm getting very close to retiring, so I'm going to have a pension,
okay.
Not huge, and I'm already drawing Social Security, and I have approximately $20,000-$25,000 in my 401k as well.
Okay.
So I want to know what. Should I leave my 401k alone, or can I do something with it to protect it?
Well, let us ask a couple of questions if we could start. How old are you, Mary?
I am 68.
All righty. And how long have you been taking the Social Security benefit?
I think this, well, when I turned 66.
Okay. And, how much will your pension be?
About net, probably about 25, 26.
100 a month?
Right.
Okay. And your Social Security, how much are you getting right now?
It's around, after taxes, it's around 1550.
Okay. So around.
And what's your gross pay at work, either annual or monthly?
Right now?
Yeah.
The gross is 61.
Okay. And do you have any debt to speak of? Do you owe any money on your home?
Yes.
How much do you owe on your house?
Probably $100,000.
And, what's the home worth?
Maybe $250,000.
Okay. When was the last time you refinanced that house?
Years ago.
And what do you know what the interest rate is?
Yeah, it's just a hair above 4.
Okay,
so not that many years ago.
Yeah, and
did you have a 30-year mortgage on it?
I did,
okay.
Yes.
Don't touch the mortgage.
All right, leave it alone. So we're going to now answer your question. Right? She's thinking, wait, I just
well, cause I'm thinking
question.
One of the things is like refinance the mortgage and stretch it out to 30 years. Here's what one thing that we think's and I know Pat's going to agree with me. Treat these dollars as sacred dollars.
That's correct.
Okay? These are not dollars to supplement your income. There's not enough there, right?
You need these as a safety net, right? You want these as a safety net. Now, the answer to your question was, should I leave it in the company 401k or I assume you work for government. Do you work for government?
State.
Okay.
I'd leave it in the plan.
I'd leave it in the plan. I'd buy a target date fund and leave it in the plan.
Yeah, like a current target date fund.
Yeah.
Leave it in the plan.
Yeah, and try not to. This is your emergency fund.
Yep.
That's what this is. It's your emergency fund. Don't let anyone try to talk you into moving these into an IRA. So when you go down to bank or credit union and they try to get you in the corner and talk to you about your money, ignore them. Because if they find out you're retiring and you're getting a monthly pension, it's not unusual for the bank to say, you need to go talk to this financial.
And by the way, the state of California's got a great 401k plan. They've got great low-cost options. Your best bet would be leave it there.
I would buy a 2020 target date fund.
Yes.
2020?
Yep.
2020 target
pretty,
date fund.
Pretty moderate portfolio.
Yeah.
Just ignore it. You'll have to start taking required minimum distributions at age 70. But again, these dollars, you want these dollars. But it's only a few percent.
Your required minimum distribution will be
percent.
What? How much is
and at sometime down the road, Mary, 10 years from now, if you're finding cash flows a little challenging, you actually could be a good candidate for a reverse mortgage at some time down the future. But that's the last resort we'd want you to look at.
Yeah.
I think right now, and I think you could probably make it work.
Actually, I think you're going to be comfortable in retirement.
Yeah, I think we'll all make choices, but I think you can make it happen.
When I start drawing it, I can draw the minimum, right?
Yeah, but so the required minimum distribution for you.
3-4%
is 4%. $800 a year.
Have it come to you.
You just turn it
they'll
on.
Come it out. They kick. You can have it so they kick it out near the end of the year and use that for your Christmas money.
There you go. Yeah, but don't worry about that.
I like anything that's related to outdoor stuff. So
don't.
So started at the end of the year.
Yeah, but call us back when you're 70 and a half and
just
we'll
deal with
walk,
it. Don't worry about
you,
it.
Walk
now.
You through it then.
Enjoy your last time of working, Mary, and enjoy retirement.
Yeah, make sure they give you a big party.
Yeah, big one.
Away.
Yeah,
big
party. Big party. Yeah, that would be good.
Streamers, balloons, the whole bit.
Thanks for calling, Mary. Appreciate the call. Again, if you want to join us, we are taking tons of calls during this program. 1-888-2 Hanson's the number, and you're pointing at me.
Oh, so I wanted to bring up this this subject. So I had a friend, and I've shared this on the show before. I had a friend.
So right there is a big issue that Pat actually had a friend. Operative term.
I have a friend whose wife worked for the state of California years and years ago, but quit to have children. But she had more than 10 years of service. And we were talking about health insurance and pensions one day. And I said to him, you know.
By the way, if you've ever worked for a government agency of any sort, listen.
Yes. Actually, any place that has a pension,
yeah,
a defined benefit pension, because we've done the same for people
correct,
that worked
in the private sector.
In the private
big
sector.
Company.
So we were out for a bike ride one day, and we were talking about his cost of health insurance, and he was going to retire. And I said, you know, your wife, she worked for the state. I know that. How many years did she have? 15. I said, you know, if she goes back and works just a day, she's going to get what is called a bridged pension.
Yes, because what happens, a lot of pension plans, or actually, all these old traditional pension plans, there's fewer and fewer of them today, but you vest based on a combination of age and years of service. And typically, the older you are, the less years of service you need. So you might only need 5 or 10 years if you're older, but if you're young, you might need 30 years. Not that you can get 30 years with your young, but you get the point.
But yeah, so it's understanding the pension rules. So I said to him, just have her go back and work one day. She's got enough years of service. She's worked there long enough. It was her age that stopped her from becoming pension eligible before. Have her go back and, you know, Scott, I'm telling this story and I'm thinking, if I'm a taxpayer in the state of California, this is making me mad. So, which I am.
I'm mad at myself.
I'm mad at myself.
Conflicted.
So what I told him to do was have her go back and work one day, bridge the pension. She'll get lifetime medical and a pension for life.
So what'd she do?
She went back. She worked 2 months. And the
two
reason,
months.
Yeah. And the reason I asked.
Why'd she work 2 months instead of just.
She thought she might actually like the job.
Oh, and after 2 months, she realized.
She didn't really like the job. But I asked her, I said, did they have a big retirement party for you?
And for 2 months?
For 2 months. She said, no, no one even knew I was gone. Most people didn't know I was there. Most people didn't know I was gone.
Didn't really care.
Nor did they care. But the point being is if you have left an employer with what's called a deferred vested pension.
Yes. And some of you are listening right now, you say, you know, the company said they're going to pay me something when I hit age 65.
Yes. Go back and
it could be that a year and a half's worth of employment could result in thousands of dollars a month of
benefit.
If
not hundreds of thousands. For this person, the 2 months that she worked was worth well over $200,000.
More than that, when you add the medical and
lifetime medical for her and her husband.
Yeah, it's probably worth at least $500,000.
And
the pension.
And the pension.
Yeah. Probably $500,000 bucks.
Yeah.
For 2 months worth of work.
Yeah. Why doesn't he talk to me anymore? My friend. No, that's not
true. He should love you. They should send you Christmas gifts.
They should. And he's a good buddy of mine. We go bike riding together all the time. Anyway.
All right. Let's head the calls again. 1-888-2 Hanson to join us. We're talking with Sergio. Sergio, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Great, Sergio.
First of all, I want to thank you guys because you guys take something like finance and turn it not only educational, but you make it fun to listen to you guys.
Well, thank you.
We actually
find finance a little fun, which is freaky, but
yeah. I married an accountant.
Hey, I married a finance major.
Isn't that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's only two women in the finance class, so it was Jane and Valerie. And Jane wouldn't speak to me, so I married to Valerie.
I hope she doesn't listen to the show. All right, Sergio, what can we do for you?
You know, I wanted to get your opinion on using a reverse mortgage in retirement. It's so hard to get like the true facts about it. You talk to someone who sells reverse mortgages, you get one story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You talk to financial advisors, you get another story.
Mm-hmm.
But being that you guys have a background on both of them, I figure you'd probably be the best ones to ask.
Well, thank you. So there isn't anything inherently wrong with a reverse mortgage. There is nothing inherently wrong. Oftentimes, other than they can be a little bit expensive relative to a
They can be a lifesaver for the right circumstance, and they can create a financial havoc in the wrong circumstance.
That's correct. So let's talk about you as an individual. Tell us about yourself. How old are you?
Well, I'm 57 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've been doing my research on them. And I've been doing my research for, God, at least probably, you know, 2 or 3 years trying to, I started out just looking at lump sum, you know, the different options.
Yes. Uh-huh. You're probably a little premature because in 5 years, the reverse mortgage of 5 years from now will probably look substantially different than today.
Yeah.
What is your other assets? I don't know. I mean,
age could change.
We could actually create a what's called a life mortgage that actually is a forward mortgage that goes flat and then goes into a reverse mortgage at some point in time. I actually don't understand why they don't sell mortgages like that. Actually, I do understand why.
You understand the bond market. Why. Yeah.
But there's
the securitization.
Yeah. So
tell us your overall situation.
Yeah. Are you working? What are you worth? What's the house worth? What do you owe?
I got to be real frank here. If you told me you were 77 today, right now, both Pat and I would be saying, all right, how do we make this reverse mortgage work so that Sergio can have enough income to live out his days? When you're 57, you're not even eligible for 5 years. We're thinking, why? Why are we looking at this?
Yeah. So tell us about yourself.
I'll tell you why, because they've been doing some research on taking it out early instead of later. And when I say early, I'm talking specifically the line of credit,
mm-hmm.
and taking advantage of the growth
rate.
Just using the line of credit and using the growth rate.
Sergio, you should have the degree in finance.
Yeah, and Sergio, and my guess is you don't really actually need the money. My guess is that you're probably financially fairly well off. Would that be a fair statement?
No, I'm not. In fact, that's what got me thinking about it, because that would be my safety net. But, you know, by listening to you guys and other shows, I'm saying, okay, well, wait a minute. If time in the market is your friend and you have access to this money that you could leave in the market,
yeah,
wouldn't it be beneficial?
Here's where it could be beneficial. And if you took out a reverse mortgage only to have the line of credit available to you, but not tap into that line of credit, the line of credit will grow. Is it 4 or 5% a year?
Something like that.
It's either 4 or 5% a year. The line of credit will grow. So let's just assume it's 100 grand. It would be more than that. You're living in Pasadena, according to the notes here. So it'd be more than that. So that would grow every year. And so the pot of money of which you can draw upon in the future would grow and grow. It'd certainly be a hedge against the housing market.
Yeah. You'd want to be pretty sure that you were actually going to stay in that home the rest of your life.
But I
wouldn't do it.
I would caution anybody under age 70 using a reverse mortgage.
I don't think you should do a reverse mortgage. I don't even think you should be looking at them right now.
Because it's
a waste of time. You should be concentrating on actually accumulating and saving money so that you never have to get a reverse mortgage. A reverse mortgage, for most people, is the last trip to the well. For most people. They do them because they have to. They do that because they have to. Right? Some people do it because they want to. If they don't have any kids, they don't care about their estate. They know they're not going to move. They want to spend as much money as they possibly can. They're the people that want, you know, they want their last check they write, they want it to bounce. But that's actually the minority of the people. Most people do it because they have to. I think that you're
expending energy in a place that is not productive right now, I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't think about it. I would concentrate on making sure you had as little debt going into retirement and as much money as possible going into retirement. So actually, Sergio, we're going to send you Scott's book, Personal Decision Points, which actually helps you determine how much money you're going to need in retirement and then how to invest those dollars and then how to distribute those dollars. Do you talk about reverse mortgages in there?
No. Yeah. Have you not read my book, Partner of 20-some-odd Years?
I read it. I skimmed it. I actually did. I actually skimmed it. Yeah. I skimmed it.
And then he slept on the couch. He woke up and realized, oh, I'll just move to the last couple pages.
I'm relatively familiar with the contents, or at least the thoughts and ideas behind this financial plan.
So, Sergio, and here's...
And go to our website, moneymatters.com, and watch the webinar.
And I had to fully agree with Pat. 5 years from now, there could be some changes to this product. It's a government-backed program. I could certainly see, it's a HUD program. I could certainly see Congress at some point in time putting some pressure. I could see the new administration doing something different with it.
I could see the market actually creating new products that don't have anything to do with the government.
With the government.
So that's why I wouldn't worry about it. And I don't like anyone to take them out until they're at least 70. Because you can work until you're 70 in most situations.
Yeah.
It's something.
And
with the line, I have looked at the amortization schedules on them.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you take it right now, well, here in California, you know how they're capped off at 625.
Yeah.
Well, that's just your basic house over here in Southern California.
Uh-huh.
So someone at 62 that's already on a $600,000 house, they're not going to be able to take much advantage of the growth and the value, but they will take advantage of their age. But
our concerns,
what I'm looking at,
Sergio,
I'm looking at the growth rate.
I understand what you're looking at. I think it's misdirected energy.
Yeah, I would agree with Pat. You're 57. If you're 67,
I'd have this conversation with you all day long. But we're talking about something that the earliest you're eligible for is 5 years in the future.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Hold on, Sergio. We'll get that book sent out to you. Quick reminder of our workshops we're having as we're wrapping up here. The end of January and the first part of February in both all throughout Northern California and Denver. Go to moneymatters.com. Again, moneymatters.com. 1-888-2-HANSEN. We're going to keep taking a couple calls because we still have some people on hold. If you can, feel free to join us. 1-888-2-HANSEN. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.